Chapter 13. Thoughtlessly running headlong after someone alone at night in Chicago is not generally a bright idea.
"This is stupid," I panted to myself. "Harry, you jackass, this is how you keep getting yourself into trouble."
Gray Cloak moved with a long, almost floating stride of an athlete running the mile and turned into an alley where the shadows grew thicker and where we would be out of sight of any of the cops or emergency response people. I had to think about this. I needed to figure out what he was doing. Okay, so I'm Gray Cloak. I want to gack Anna Ash, so I start a fire. No, wait. So I use one of the incendiary devices like the one in Murphy's Saturn, put it on a kitchen timer a couple of floors below Anna's place, cut the building's power, phones, and alarms, and set the whole shebang on fire. Boom. Then I wait outside Anna's door for her to emerge in a panic so that I can murder her, leave, and let the evidence burn in the subsequent inferno. Now it all looks like an accident. Only I don't expect Anna to have a pair of world-class wizards on hand, and I sure as hell never saw a mouse coming. The dog barks, and all of a sudden the hall is full of people who can witness the murder, and there's no way to make it look accidental. Someone is almost certain to contact the authorities and send in the whirling lights within a few moments, and there goes my whole evening. No use trying to complete a subtle hit now. So what do I do? I don't want attention, that's for sure, or I wouldn't be trying so hard to make this murder look like an accident. I'm cautious, smart, and patient, or I wouldn't have gotten away with it in four other cities. I do what a smart predator does when a stalk goes sour. I bug out. I've got a car nearby, a getaway vehicle. Gray Cloak reached the end of the alley and turned left, with me about 20 feet behind him. Then he rounded a corner and sprinted into a parking garage. I did not follow him. See, since I'm such a competent and methodical killer, I assume the worst, that anyone in pursuit will display just as much intelligence and resourcefulness. So what I do is pull the chase into the parking garage, where there's lots of angles that will break line of sight. But my getaway car isn't parked there. There's no way I'm going to wait around to pay the attendant, and smashing my way out would attract the attention I'm trying to avoid. The plan is to lose a pursuer in the ample shadows, ramps, doorways, and parked cars in the maze of the garage, and go to my car once I've given him the slip. I'd kept sprinting down the street and rounded a corner. Then I stopped, crouched and ready to continue running. The far side of the garage had no parking places, nor did the alley, so Gray Cloak's car had to be either on the street in front of the garage or on the street along its side. From that corner, I could watch both. I hunkered down beside a city trash can and hoped that I was as clever as I seemed to think I was. I was pretty sure it would have been at best stupid and at worst lethal to pursue Gray Cloak into the dark of the parking garage. I might have one hell of a punch, but I was as fragile as the next person, and cornering Gray Cloak might draw out the savagery of desperation. If I slipped up and he got too close to me, he might drop me like a pair of dirty socks. Always assuming, of course, that he wasn't an actual warden, in which case he might well hit me with lightning or fire or any number of other nasty attacks of choice. That was the thought I found more than a little comfortable, really. I'd spent most of my adult life living in fear of the council's wardens. They'd been my persecutors, my personal furies, and despite the fact that I'd become one, I felt an almost childish glee in the notion that a warden might be my bad guy. It would give me a perfect opportunity to lay out some long-deserved payback with perfect justification. Unless, of course, it was a warden doing it under orders. Once upon a time, I'd have told you that the White Council was made up of basically decent people who valued human life. Now, I knew better. The Council broke the laws when it saw fit to do so. It executed children who, in their ignorance, violated those same laws. The war, too, had made the council desperate, more willing to take chances and make hard decisions that amounted to other people getting killed while the council's bony collective ass stayed as covered as possible. It didn't seem reasonable to think that a legitimate warden could have sunk to such measures, or that Captain Lucio, the warden's commander, would condone it. But I've gotten used to being disappointed in the honor and sincerity of the council in general, and the wardens in particular. For that matter, I probably shouldn't expect too much rationality out of Gray Cloak either. My scenario to predict his behavior was plausible, rational. But a rational person wouldn't be going around murdering people and making it look like suicide, would he? I was probably wasting my time. A shadowy figure vaulted from the roof of the parking garage and dropped 6 stories to the ground, landing on the sidewalk in a crouch. Gray Cloak was still for a second, maybe listening, and then rose and began to walk, quickly but calmly, toward the street and the cars parked along it.